The slab was already shaking under concrete trucks when Kayla stepped through the gate. Air horns, backup alarms, steel hitting steel. Men in hard hats watched her cross the mud, some amused, some annoyed, none quiet. Her name was on the crew list, but the looks said she was still on trial. The first comments came before she reached the tool crib. Short remarks about her body, her grip strength, whether she could keep up when the sun hit midday. Someone asked if she got the job from a bedroom, not from a resume. Laughter rolled across the rebar. She kept her voice even, kept her eyes on the work, but every joke carried a warning. The foreman on the deck saw all of it and wiped it away with a grin. If she wanted to stay on this site, she was expected to take it, swallow it, and thank them for the opportunity. By the time she grabbed her harness, Kayla understood the rule. Out here, the concrete was not the only thing that could turn on her. Chapter 1, First Day on the Slab. By 6:10 in the morning, the site was awake and angry. Engines idled in a tight line at the fence. Concrete drums rolled slow, thick gray slurry circling inside. A crane hook swayed over the skeleton of the building. Radios crackled on every floor. Men shouted measurements through dust. Kayla stopped at the gate, pulled her gloves tighter, and scanned the chaos. She could see only two other women in sight, neither on the crew she had been assigned to. One flagged traffic near the road. The other carried a clipboard beside a safety officer. On the main deck, it was almost all men, all boots, all voices used to owning the noise. She checked her harness and fresh hard hat, both marked with the company logo that still looked new. Her boots were scuffed but not torn. Vest zipped, glasses clear, she walked toward the staging area. She felt every eye move with her. At the gang box, three men leaned against the steel with coffee cups in their hands. One nudged the other with his elbow when he saw her. The chatter dropped a notch. "You lost, sweetheart," he asked. His name patch said Dax. He looked her up and down, a slow scan that had nothing to do with safety. "I am on Blake's crew," Kayla said. "Poor and framing on level 2. Where is the harness rack for this side?" They laughed. The second man shook his head and took a sip. "Hear that? On Blake's crew already," he said. "Fast track. Must be nice." The third man, older, stayed quiet and watched her. Kayla saw it and filed his face away. "You swing a hammer or just hold clipboards," Dax said. "They send you to show us what equal opportunity looks like." Kayla opened the gang box and reached for the tools listed on the board. "I carry my own weight," she said. "If you want to test that, hand over the impact and stop talking." The older man snorted. The second one gave a low whistle. The tension sharpened. Dax smiled, but his eyes shut down. "Spicy," he said. "We will see if that lasts after lunch." A voice cut across the yard. "Kayla, up here." She looked up. Blake stood at the edge of the second floor deck, vest open, hard hat pushed back, clipboard in hand. He was the foreman for this side of the project. Broad shoulders and a permanent smirk that looked carved into his face. She climbed the temporary stairs. The deck smelled like wet plywood, oil, and sweat. Men moved around her carrying plywood sheets and rebar, stepping over gaps without looking down. Blake waited with his arms folded. "You made it," he said. "Good. Listen close. This is not classroom training. We are on schedule pressure. We pour that slab before noon. We strip forms near dusk. You keep up or you are gone. Clear." "Clear," she said. He let his eyes linger a second too long on her chest, then turned and pointed along the deck. "You get on that run of forms," he said. "Check the pins, check the bracing. Stay off ladders unless you have a spotter. Guys are rough around here. You handle your own mouth, you will be fine." She heard the message inside the words. "They will say what they want. You deal with it. If you complain, you are the problem." Kayla set to work along the outer edge. The sun was still low, but the day had already started to heat. The deck vibrated under her boots every time a load dropped from the crane. Behind her, the earlier voices followed. "Careful out there, Barbie. Wind might carry you off. Bet she drops that hammer before 9. Laughter, short and sharp. She did not turn. She checked each brace, each tie, hands steady. The job mattered more than their noise, but the noise was not going away. Near mid-morning, she needed a ladder to reach the top of a form stack. She grabbed an A-frame, checked the feet, and set it against the frame where the deck dipped near an open edge. It was not ideal, but it was in line with the safety notes she had been given. She tested the ladder with her weight. It felt solid. She climbed. On the third rung, her view cleared and she could see across the whole deck. Blake talking with an inspector. Dax and his crew near the pump line. A mixer backed up toward the chute. For a moment, she let her focus narrow to the bolts in front of her. Metal squeaked. The ladder shifted under her right boot. It did not slip far, just enough to tilt. Her stomach dropped. She grabbed the top rail. 1 foot left the rung as the ladder kicked sideways on the uneven deck. She swore and clung to the frame. The ladder skidded half a step and then stopped with a hard jolt. The noise around her blurred. Someone laughed. Another voice called out, mocking her balance. She forced herself down, hand over hand, until both boots touched the deck again. Her legs shook. When she turned, the three men from the gang box stood near a stack of plywood, watching. Dax held his hands up. "Relax. No harm," he called. "Ladder must not like you." The second man grinned. "Maybe it is scared of heights, too." The older one looked away, jaw tight. Kayla walked to the base of the ladder. The back foot was resting over a piece of scrap plastic that had not been there when she set it. A small wedge of wood sat near the front, enough to rock it if someone nudged it. Her chest burned. She looked from the ladder to the men. "You move this," she said. Her voice cut through the air. "Who touched this ladder?" "Easy," Dax said. "We just watched. You set it. You almost ate it. That is on you." He laughed again. The second worker joined in. Someone further down the deck turned to see the show. Blake was still talking to the inspector, back turned. Kayla picked up the wedge, held it up. "This was not under here when I climbed. You are playing with someone's life." "Drama," the second man said. "You slip once and now we are killers." Dax spread his arms. "Look around. Everyone takes risks. You want special treatment because you are a girl on site." More eyes on them now. She could feel the silence from others, the careful way they pretended to keep working while they listened. "You think this is about special treatment," she said. "I am asking for basic safety. Keep your hands off my ladder." Blake turned at the raised voices and walked over, irritation already on his face. "What is this?" he asked. "She set the ladder wrong," Dax said before Kayla could speak. "Almost tipped. Now she is blaming us. You bring someone green up here. This is what you get." Kayla held his gaze, then looked at Blake. "That ladder was solid when I climbed. Someone moved something under it. They were standing right here laughing when it slipped." Blake looked at the ladder, then at the wedge in her hand. He gave a half shrug. "It did not go over," he said. "You are still standing. Ladders shift. Deck is messy. You want this job, you need to toughen up. We do not stop a pour for every wobble." He glanced at the watching workers, then back to her. "You good to keep working?" he asked. The question sounded like a warning. Kayla could feel the heat in her face. Every instinct told her to fight harder, to push until someone admitted the stunt. But the whole deck was listening. Blake had already chosen a side. "I am fine," she said. "I will finish the check." He clapped his hand on the ladder once and walked away. The men smirked as he passed. One of them muttered loud enough for her to hear. "Next, she will say we pushed the crane." Laughter followed. She carried the ladder to a different section, checked it twice, and climbed again. This time, no one touched it. The message was clear enough without another stunt. "You speak up, we laugh louder. You push, we push back." The rest of the shift blurred into noise and sweat. Forms, pins, braces, calls for measurements, the steady churn of the pump, every so often a comment about her pace or her body. Each time she shut it down with a short answer, never giving them the show they wanted. By the time the horn blew at the end of the day, her arms felt heavy and her head buzzed from the constant pressure. She walked off the deck slower than she had come up, watching for stray eyes and careless shoulders. At the edge of the site, she stopped, turned, and lifted her phone. She took a slow pan of the deck where the ladder had slipped. The exact position, the scrap on the ground. Her own narration kept low and calm as she described what had happened, the time, the names she had seen nearby. Then she filmed a close shot of the wedge and the plastic, still near the spot where the ladder had rocked. When she finished, she saved the video and backed it up to the cloud. She stored the wedge in her locker, deep under her spare gloves. The sun was almost down when she walked to the site office. The lights inside glowed over polished desks and framed safety posters that promised zero tolerance for harassment. The noise of the yard faded behind her. The project manager, Harris, sat behind a screen with a stack of schedules laid out in front of him. He looked up when she stepped in, eyes tired. "Kayla," he said, "you had your first full day. What do you need?" "I need to report a safety incident," she said, "and harassment on the deck." His posture stiffened by a degree. He gestured to the chair, but did not smile. "Go ahead," he said. She laid it out. The comments at the gang box, the ladder, the wedge, the laughter while it slipped, Blake's reaction. Harris listened, one hand on his keyboard, eyes shifting from her to the desk. "You have proof?" he asked. "I recorded the scene after," she said. "I know who was there. I know what they said. I know it was not an accident." He exhaled through his nose and nodded slowly. "Look," he said, "construction is rough. People talk rough. It is not right, but it is real. If we start digging official trenches on every remark, this site will freeze solid. You have a future here if you can work through it. Complaints, written ones, make things complicated." She let the words hang. "Complicated for who?" she asked. "For you," he said. "Once you put this in formal writing, it goes past me. HR, safety, maybe the union. People stop seeing you as a worker and start seeing you as a risk file. I am not saying do not speak up. I am telling you what happens when you do." He met her eyes for the first time without looking away. "You sure this is the line you want to cross on your first week?" he asked. Kayla thought of the ladder under her boots, the sudden empty air, the laughter. She thought of the wedge in her locker and the recording on her phone. "If I do nothing," she said, "the next slip might not stop halfway." Harris rubbed his forehead. "I will log it as a concern and talk to Blake," he said at last. "Informal. We can keep it on site, try to cool things down. You keep your head low. We will move you to a calmer section." "I am not asking for a quieter corner," she said. "I am asking for the crew to stop treating me like a target." He looked past her to the window, where the last truck was leaving, tail lights fading. "Think it over tonight," he said. "If you still want a formal complaint in the morning, bring it in writing. Name every person and every detail. Once it is in, there is no pulling it back." Kayla stepped out of the office into the cooling air, phone heavy in her pocket, the wedge on her mind. The sight behind her roared in her memory, even in silence. She had until morning to decide whether to push this higher or fall in line. Either way, the next day on that slab would not be simple. Chapter 2. Retaliation in Steel and Concrete. The air on the site shifted before sunrise. Kayla felt it when she walked through the gate. Conversations that used to roll loud across the yard dropped into pockets of silence as she passed. Men who had joked at her on day one now stared with flat eyes or looked away too quickly. Word had traveled. Someone had told the crew she went to Harris. She headed for the gang box. Tools were missing from their usual slots. The impact she used yesterday was gone. A younger worker stepped around her with a coil of hose and muttered something under his breath that she could not catch. Blake climbed up from the lower level with a fresh clipboard tucked under his arm. He did not look at her until he had reached the deck. "Change of plan," he said. "You are on cleanup and material haul today, far side of the deck, less traffic." Kayla knew that meant the worst section. Long carries, heavy lifts, slow, grinding work. She kept her voice level. "What about form checks?" she asked. "I was assigned to framing this week." He did not blink. "And now you are assigned to haulouts," he said. "We have a rhythm up here. You disrupted it yesterday. Let the guys reset while you get your bearings." Behind him, the same men from the ladder incident watched with faint smiles, like the day was already going their way. Kayla picked up the haul straps and worked without protest. She carried plywood, moved rebar bundles, stacked offcuts. Sweat soaked her vest by 8. Dust clung to her throat. The sun was not high yet, but the heat on the deck rose fast. She was loading a fresh stack when Rosa approached from the staging side. She was small, quiet, mid-30s, always kept her head down. Kayla had seen her sweeping near the scaffold last week, but had never spoken to her. Rosa kept her voice low. "They moved your ladder on purpose," she said. "They do things like that." Kayla paused, gripping the edge of the plywood. "You saw it?" she asked. "I heard them talk after," Rosa said. "They think it is funny when someone is new. They have done worse to others. I stay out of their way. Kayla wiped dust from her gloves. You ever say anything? Rosa's eyes flicked to Blake, then back. No point, she said. You saw. They protect each other. Foreman makes sure it stays quiet. Another worker walked by, so both women bent to adjust the stack. Once the deck cleared, Rosa spoke again. You should write everything down, she said. Names, times, dates, all of it. If you keep it in your head, they will twist it until you sound confused. Kayla looked at her. You done that? She asked. Rosa nodded once. Months of notes, but I am alone. One voice is easy to ignore. Two is harder. A crane alarm sounded behind them. Rosa stepped away, returning to her sweeping. Kayla held her breath a moment, feeling the weight of the exchange. She was not the only one. That made everything clearer and worse. By mid-morning, the retaliation sharpened. A wheelbarrow she had loaded was shifted near the edge of the deck, wheels left angled on a slope. If she had pushed it without checking, it would have rolled fast and gone over. She steadied it, fixed the angle, and looked around. No one admitted a thing. Her water bottle disappeared from her pack. A pile of scrap cutoffs was dumped beside the path she cleared earlier. Instructions from a supervisor were vague enough to slow her work and force her to redo tasks. None of it was loud enough to be obvious. All of it added up. Near 11, Blake called her over. Your productivity is low, he said. The guys tell me you keep stopping to recheck simple work. She kept her hands still. I recheck because tools are moved and materials are placed in unsafe spots. He raised an eyebrow. You blaming the crew again? I am pointing out hazards, she said. He sighed. Kayla, listen. If you keep fighting the culture here, you will lose. We need workers who fit the rhythm. You are making yourself a problem. She held his gaze. I am working. They are the ones tampering with equipment. Blake gave a cold half-smile. I have zero proof of that, he said. But I do have proof your output is dropping. Keep it up and I file a performance note. He walked away before she could reply. Kayla felt the pressure gather in her chest. Not fear, recognition. The site was adjusting to her complaint by tightening around her, not protecting her. During lunch, she sat alone near the storage containers. Rosa approached again, handing her a spare water bottle without a word. Kayla took it, grateful. They know you went to Harris, Rosa said. Someone heard him on the phone. They think you made trouble. He told me to think it over, Kayla said. Informal talk only, that is all. Rosa looked at her with steady eyes. Once you speak up, there is no informal, she said. They will not forget. The wind pushed dust across the yard. Forklifts beeped near the gate. Somewhere on the upper floors, a grinder screeched. Kayla leaned closer. You said you keep notes, she said. You still have them. Yes, Rosa said. Every incident, every shift, I write the date, the time, who was nearby, what was said. Sometimes I take photos of where things were left. My phone is old, but it works. You will show me, Kayla asked. Rosa hesitated. If you are serious, if you are ready for what happens next, the site turns cold when women talk to each other. Kayla nodded. It is already cold. They met again near the storage area after the shift. Rosa opened her locker and pulled out a small notebook wrapped in plastic. The cover was worn, pages warped from sweat and dust. Kayla saw dates stretching back half a year. Notes about comments, pranks, near misses, equipment tampering, and certain men who appeared again and again. I thought about reporting, Rosa said, but I need someone with me. I cannot do it alone. Kayla held the notebook. The weight felt heavier than paper. We do it together, she said, but we do it right. They sat on an overturned crate and began their plan. They listed each incident from both sides, dates, times, names, the ladder, the wheelbarrow, the missing water, every small retaliation. They added the missing camera footage note after Rosa mentioned the block on the north corner. What footage? Kayla asked. The north deck camera, Rosa said. It points right where your ladder was. It should have caught every second, but the safety officer said the file was overwritten early yesterday. That almost never happens. Kayla felt the chill move through her. Losing the footage was not an accident. Someone made sure the record was clean, she said. Rosa nodded. Kayla opened her phone. She started a new log. She backed up each entry in two places. She added photos from the day, including the new scrap pile and the barrow angle. Before they closed the notebook, an older worker stepped into the shade of the containers. It was the same man who had stayed silent on the first morning. He looked around, then spoke in a low voice. "You two need to hear something," he said. "Corporate has been warned about this crew before. Not once, more than once. They know Blake runs things rough. They know complaints disappear. Nothing changed because no one pushed it outside the site." Kayla looked at him hard. "You are sure?" "I was here when the last girl left," he said. "She moved to another project. Said she was tired of fighting. If you want this fixed, you cannot keep it on site. They will bury it." He stepped away before either woman could ask more. Kayla closed the notebook. "That is enough for me," she said. "We go higher." Rosa nodded, but her hands shook. That night, Kayla sat on her bed with her phone open to the company's external hotline. She typed everything she and Rosa had logged. Dates, times, names, retaliation since the report to Harris, missing footage, safety concerns, equipment tampering, the ladder, the barrow, the pattern. She submitted it. Then she saved a copy of the report to a private drive. Her phone vibrated with an automated confirmation. Case opened, external review assigned. When she arrived on site the next morning, the tension hit like a wall. Blake watched her walk in with a look that said he already knew. Rosa stood farther back near the containers, eyes on the ground. Kayla joined her. "You sent it," Rosa whispered. "Yes," Kayla said. "Now we see what they do." Across the slab, crews moved slower. Men talked in tight circles. Eyes tracked her everywhere. Something heavy was coming. Not a joke, not a prank, a reckoning. The question was who it would hit first. Chapter 3. The Cost of Speaking Up. The corporate truck rolled past the gate just after 7. No radio call, no warning. The site froze for a breath as the white vehicle climbed the gravel path and stopped near the main office. Two people stepped out. One wore a vest with an HR badge clipped to the front. The other carried a safety inspection tablet. They scanned the deck with calm eyes that saw everything. Blake cursed under his breath. The crew watched him, his jaw locked, but he walked toward them with confidence like nothing was wrong. He met them at the base of the stairs and shook hands, too firm, too eager. When he pointed them toward the office, his smile stayed on his face, but not in his eyes. Word spread fast. Interviews, separations. No one allowed to talk to each other. Work slowed to half its usual speed as workers glanced between HR, safety, and Kayla. She kept her hands steady on her gear, but tension crawled under her skin. By 8, HR had called in the first group. Three men from the decking crew stepped into the office. The door shut behind them. Their faces were tight with rehearsed confidence. They had decided their story long before the truck arrived. Rosa stood near the scaffold, broom held like a shield. She did not speak, but her eyes tracked every movement. Kayla gave her a small nod to signal strength. They both needed the courage to hold steady through what was coming. A half hour later, the men came out. Their expressions were controlled. One grinned at Dax and slapped his shoulder. Whatever story they told, it had been lined up clean. Kayla's name came next. She walked into the office with her phone already in her hand. The HR rep greeted her with a neutral expression. The safety officer nodded once and motioned toward a chair. "We received your external report," HR said. "We need you to go through each part, chronological order, facts only." Kayla opened her logs. She kept her voice firm. She gave times, dates, names. She described the ladder shift, the wedge, the wheelbarrow near the edge, the comments, the missing tools, the sudden reassignment. She showed the video she recorded on the deck after the ladder incident. She showed photos from the second day. She presented Rosa's notes with Rosa's written consent. The HR rep watched carefully, pausing sometimes to ask for clarity. The safety officer zoomed in on the photos. When Kayla mentioned the missing camera footage, both exchanged a look. "Who told you it was overwritten early?" the officer asked. "S. Rosa," Kayla said. "She asked the safety tech about pulling it. He said the files were cleared. That footage is not usually overwritten for a week," the officer said. "We will verify." They asked if she felt safe continuing on this site. She told them the truth. "Not with this crew," she said. "Not with Blake in charge." The HR rep nodded once, not agreement, acknowledgement. "You may step out," he said. "We will call the next witness." Rosa was next. She walked in with the notebook packed under her vest. She gave her statements with a trembling voice but a steady resolve. When she stepped out, her hands shook but her eyes did not drop. By 10, HR had spoken to the key crew members. The deck had gone nearly silent by then. Men gathered in tight groups, whispering short sentences that died when anyone walked past. Dax scowled at every movement from Kayla's direction. Blake stayed near the pump line, pretending to manage productivity, but keeping one eye on the office. The tension snapped when the safety officer approached him. "We need to review yesterday's North Deck footage," he said. "Pull it now." Blake hesitated, half a second, enough for everyone nearby to see. His voice came out tight. "It was cleared for storage," he said. "System cycles early sometimes." The safety officer stared at him. "Show me the cycle logs." Blake shifted his stance. "The tech handles that. He is off today." "Then you show me what you can," the officer said. They walked toward the small camera panel near the stairwell. Several workers pretended to keep working but watched from the corners of their eyes. Minutes passed. When the officer returned, his expression was cold. The HR rep followed behind him carrying a printed sheet. They walked straight to the center of the deck and called for attention. Work stopped completely. "Effective immediately," HR said. "Several individuals are being removed from the site pending further review. Those names have been notified." Dax's radio crackled. He stepped forward, shock flashing across his face. "You serious?" he asked. "For what?" "Jokes. That is all we said. She took everything wrong." The HR rep did not respond. He pointed him toward the gate. Another crew member followed, face flushed with anger. A third set his hard hat down so hard the brim cracked. Then HR turned to Blake. "Site foreman Blake Randall," he said. "You are suspended pending investigation into failure to document safety incidents and potential interference with recorded evidence." Blake laughed once, a short, bitter sound. "Interference," he said. "You think I erased anything? Cameras glitch, systems glitch. I run production. That is my job." "You also run safety compliance," the officer said. "The missing footage occurred within your chain of custody. That is enough for suspension." Murmurs moved across the deck. Blake grabbed his clipboard, his jaw locked tight, and walked toward the gate without a word. The men who had stood behind him now kept their distance. HR turned to Kayla and Rosa. "You will both be reassigned to alternative sites while we finalize findings," the rep said. "This is for your safety. You will receive full pay during the transfer period." Kayla felt the weight settle, a win that did not feel like victory. She looked at Rosa. Rosa looked relieved but hollow. The HR rep added one more line. "You will also receive follow-up from management regarding options for continued employment or separation packages. This environment is not conducive to your well-being." Kayla understood the message under the official phrasing. She was not welcome back. They wanted the problem moved, not integrated. When the truck pulled away with the suspended workers in tow, the site felt cracked open. No one joked, no one jeered, but no one met her eyes either. She was visible now in a different way, not as a target, as an inconvenience, proof that the old rules were weakening. Near the end of the day, Harris found her beside the water station. "This could have gone quieter," he said. "You know that." "It would not have gone safer," she said. He rubbed his temple. "Corporate will deal with this, but you being here now puts stress on the whole job. The schedule is already slipping." She waited. "There is an offer on the table," he said. "Transfer to another project, or a payout if you want to step back. No shame in taking it. This site will be tense for a long time." Kayla looked across the slab. Workers moved like shadows, each avoiding her path. The half-finished building rose above them, steel and concrete locked in place long before she ever arrived. It would stand long after everyone forgot the names of the people who built it. "Rosa too?" she asked. "Yes," Harris said. "Same options." Kayla did not answer him. She picked up her gear and walked toward the stairs. The sun was dropping behind the crane, setting the dust in a pale red glow. As she reached the edge of the deck, she paused. She looked over the structure one last time. So much noise, so much pressure, so much that would stay buried under new concrete. She took a breath, stepped off the deck, and headed for the gate. Whatever she chose next, this fight had already taken something from her, something she would not get back.